Someone like you. Casey. The kid was cold. Casey could see that as Joe puttered past him in the tree-shaded twilight of Forest Hill Road near Sugar Pine Lake. It was November and in the 40s this time of night, and the lost thing on the side of the road was not dressed for the weather. He didn't look good at all. His lips were blue. His thin arms, folded in front of him, were paler than the grimy t-shirt, and his cheeks were hectically flushed. And his eyes were dead. Casey reached from under the fleece-lined leather lap robe that nestled him in the cozy sidecar, complete with a little space heater at his feet, because Joe took care of details like that, and tapped Joe's thigh, but he didn't need to bother. Joe was the same guy he'd been 25 years earlier. He could spot a miserable runaway a mile away. They pulled the cycle over to the side of the road, and Casey took off his helmet, because he knew they looked scary when you were cold and alone on the side of a country road, and called out, "Hey, kid!" They'd passed the boy up, walking in the opposite direction, and Casey could see the kid's shoulders stiffen as they called out to him. "Yeah?" he asked, like he was bracing himself for a blow. Casey and Joe met eyes. Casey sighed and got out of the sidecar, then walked carefully to about 5 yards from the boy. A big enough distance so the kid could run away if he felt like he needed to, and close enough so he could see that Casey, at 41, was probably fit enough to catch him, and maybe mean enough to give chase. "Kid, look. It's going to dip into freezing tonight. Can we take you anywhere?" The kid narrowed his eyes, and he gave a convulsive shudder. He closed his eyes. "I don't got nowhere to go." Casey nodded, because they'd known that. "We've got a spare bedroom," he said cautiously. "For the night. No strings. We've even got some food." Oh, God. The eyes on this kid. Brown, deep, and terrified. The kid shivered again. "I don't got no money, but I can..." He grabbed his crotch uncomfortably. "I can pay." Casey wrinkled his nose. "You see that graying bastard on the back of that motorcycle?" The kid looked up. Joe was sitting there, his comfortably wrinkling face sunk into what looked to be a habitual scowl, but was really just a thoughtfulness, almost out of place in this century. His gray and white ponytail was sticking out from under his helmet like a barely contained coal brush, and he had a fairly frightening Fu Manchu mustache with matching soul patch. He was easily 6 feet 5 inches tall, and his shoulders were, at least to a young man's eyes, as broad as a barn. He was one of those men who became thick with age, in spite of the best efforts of diet and exercise, and he looked like one hammer swing from his fist would effectively dent the hood of a half-ton pickup. The kid's eyes grew huge. "Yeah?" he whispered, obviously scared of what came next. "He keeps me plenty busy, and if I slept around, he'd kill me, and if he slept around, I'd geld him. I'd say you're safer in the spare bedroom of two old queers than you are almost anywhere else in the county." Casey lowered his voice. "Including, maybe, your own home." The kid looked up, and something dropped from his eyes, and what was left was naked, feverish, and damned near to done. "I'll do anything," he begged. "No worries," Casey said, keeping his voice low and soothing, like he would with a wild bear or a rabid chicken. "Here, we'll let you sit in the sidecar home. We've got a spare helmet. It's nice and warm. It'll be good. Trust me." The kid cast a hunted look at Joe, who was watching the two of them with serene curiosity.
That guy's not gonna...
He shuddered. Casey rolled his eyes. "Kid, you should be so lucky, but no. I worked too hard to make him mine, okay?"